History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today, our guest host is Grace Buckman.
Today we're speaking with Bonnie Burns. Now, Bonnie experienced heartbreak and sexual betrayal in her marriage, and she now does incredible work with women who have experienced the same. And she's a credentialed partner coach, and she's actually coming to Australia in September. So today we're going to hear more about her testimony, what she does for ministry and work with these women. So Bonnie, welcome to History Makers. Glad to have you here today.
Oh, thank you, Grace. This is really an honor and privilege.
Well, I'd love to just get straight into it. So can you tell me a little bit about your story? So where were you born and raised, and did you grow up in a Christian home?
I was born and raised near Indianapolis, Indiana, in the United States, which is Midwest. If you're looking at the big map, I'm kind of central towards the east a little bit. Anyways, there's lots of cornfields and farms in the area that I grew up in. So it was very country, rural, very down to earth. I was born into a Christian home. My mom and dad were both believers. Yeah, I've known Jesus since birth. And I remember singing He Lives at a vacation Bible school when I was about 4 years old. So that's like my first memory of church.
Beautiful. There's so much beauty in growing up in a Christian home and having that faith, but really learning and growing over time. So then moving on for you, so did you start studying? Did you start working? And how did you really come to end up in this ministry that you're doing? What has that journey looked like for you?
It began as a trek to find my own sexual interest. Now, this is before discoveries of the hard things happened. This was a place of weakness for me in the marriage, and I decided I wanted to find practical ways to help me want to participate more in the bedroom, because I did see it as an important part of marriage. And so that journey was, I started writing and researching on a blog, which now isn't very active because my focus has shifted a little bit, but I began as a Christian sexuality educator and to help women with low desire with practical tips and tools to try to boost their interest in being sexual with their husbands.
Well, I imagine that would have, even getting into that space, it can be quite a taboo topic. It's not something that is frequently spoken about in church. So that's why it's so important to have people with godly perspectives and help in that. So when you were working or doing ministry in that space, did you just meet a lot of women who had experienced similar, or at that point, were you coaching women who had experienced betrayal in marriage as well?
At that point, it did come up sometimes, but it wasn't a frequent issue that I encountered with the women that I was working with. So it wasn't until I had a third discovery day. That means the day that I discovered problematic sexual behavior. And these were spaced out between decades. So the first time was before I started to try to find my libido. The second time, I decided that this wasn't about sex, because I had found my libido and I had started to meet joyfully in the bedroom. And so because I knew this wasn't my fault, I started to learn more about myself and who I was in Christ, and that I could have boundaries in marriage. You know, I didn't have to just let his actions dictate. I could say yes or no to what kind of values I had in marriage. So my journey was really, at the core of it, learning how valuable I am as a daughter of Yahweh and a co-heir of Jesus. That's how my faith grew too. My faith grew as I felt him empower me.
that identity, isn't it? And I think a lot of people struggle with identity. So I'd actually love to get your experience. So when you embarked on that journey of finding your identity and your worth in Christ, how did you embark on that journey? And do you have any wisdom or encouragement that you can share with people who maybe feel the same or are struggling to find that?
Well, I tell you, there were two books that were pivotal for me, and they're older books now. I know they're still out there. One's called The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro. And I know his wife, Jerry, has written a book specifically for women around that issue. I haven't read that book, but I've heard it's really good. And then the other book that was for me so pivotal was called Search for Significance by Robert S. McGee. That shifted my perspective. I didn't have to perform to be accepted by God. My salvation wasn't determined by what I did. You know, it was who I am. And I look towards that verse where Moses sees the burning bush and Yahweh says, I am who I am. I really took that to heart because he didn't say, I am what I do. He just said, I am what I am. And that was a huge shift and a huge moment for me to go, oh, he loves me for who I am. I can quit striving. I can just rest in that. And from there, things shifted and I started to study on my own the Gospels, and getting to know Jesus on that real intimate level just gave me the mind of Christ. It was really an empowerment.
Did you see much of a change in your ministry or the work that you were doing with women then once you started to have found that identity or that grounding and really growing in your faith yourself?
It does now, but the shift into what I'm doing now was because my husband, I discovered a third time that he had problematic sexual behavior. But because I knew my worth and identity at this third instance, I was able to put really big boundaries in place that protected me. And I learned that God will take care of me no matter what. I will be provided for, because in my heart, I knew I couldn't stay in a marriage if we didn't have 100% sexual integrity. And so I made some really big boundaries, knowing that God was with me. I was trying to live with integrity and that he would provide for me, because I wasn't the breadwinner. So that was kind of scary to say, I'm going to walk away. But my husband also came awake and decided that he wanted to live in his values. And so he's been doing great recovery work. Solid recovery. And so I've been walking with women for about 4 years in this area. So that's where the shift was.
What does it practically look like for you where you are working with these women? So I presume they've experienced similar, they've had, you know, problematic sexual behavior or that betrayal in their marriage. What work are you doing with them? Do you typically coach them through it? What does that journey look like? And do you work with the husband sometime as well?
So when a woman first discovers, usually she has a very traumatic experience. And so her body experiences trauma. So I work in kind of crisis management at first, and not all women understand, even know what search terms to Google. It's such a shock and it's so out of left field. And if you're not in this recovery world, not a lot of people know about it. So once she finds me, and if she's in crisis mode, we walk through what does she need to be safe. And I do mean in all areas, you know, physical safety, sexual safety, verbal, relational safety, financial safety, all of those things. We walk through that. And how can she take care of herself in the midst of this crisis, you know, physically? And it's just a lot of questions. And I listen a whole lot in the beginning, because when she finds me in high crisis, she wants to tell me her story. And I am a safe place to tell that story. There's no judgment. I've heard of everything under the sun now. So that's what it looks like at first, helping her through the crisis.
What does that next phase look like after the initial more crisis management and just really being able to share?
That's a great question. So honestly, we don't really do much marriage work until he decides if he wants to be in the marriage or not. You know, if he wants to work towards recovery. In the beginning, she's building boundaries to keep herself safe. And some of that may be, I request you, this is as if she's talking to her husband, you know, I request you see a therapist that's certified in sex addiction at least twice a month. And I request that you go to meetings that are around sex addiction support. And I say sex addiction, and I know some people do not like that label, but it's the same as problematic sexual behavior. It's a behavior that just cannot be controlled, even though there's big negative consequences. So that's what I'm talking about when I say sex addiction. It's not a label, it's just a description. But if he's not willing to get on board with recovery, then she and I have to determine what she wants. And some women want to stay and try to navigate that hard decision of staying. And if he doesn't decide to get into recovery, some women decide to leave. And that's another really big decision, but both are valid. Both are valid decisions. So the marriage part, if he chooses to wholeheartedly commit to recovery and finds it, sobriety and solid recovery, then we start working on the coupleship.
So where we are now, we are having you come to Australia, so the land down under, in September. So what work are you doing here? I know you're speaking at some churches and doing some training, but can you tell us more about where you are going and what kind of teaching and training you're doing here?
So I'm teaching three seminars on healthy sexuality for women. And this is for the general public, and it's around theology of sex, what are healthy godly practices, and also we will be touching on why there is problematic sexual behavior and betrayal trauma and where those come from, and kind of some high level things to think about if you experience it, how to find help for yourself. And that's in Sydney. I have one in Sydney. I have one at Port Macquarie. And that's at the Crossview Training Center on September 7th. And I have Healthy Sexuality for Women Intensive on September 21st at the Genesis Church on the Gold Coast. And also one on the 19th of September, I have one at the Park Ridge Baptist Church in Brisbane. The other two things, I am meeting with some therapists to talk about the specifics of problematic sexual behavior and betrayal trauma. And I'm also meeting with some men's groups to talk about healthy sexuality in problematic behavior and betrayal trauma. It's a broad brush across your East Coast, and I'm so honored to be able to come down and speak about this.
So for anyone who is listening, make sure if you do live in those locations, so Sydney and Brisbane and the Gold Coast. Yeah, so if you are close by, definitely encourage you to check that out, meet Bonnie. But two final questions for you. Number one is, where can people find more of you? So website, any social media that you have, or books?
So I have a podcast for healthy sexuality, healthy godly sexuality. And it's trauma informed because I'm on one of the hosts, but it's not specifically about betrayal and sex addiction. It's just about general healthy sexuality. So it's called Sex Chat for Christian Wives. It's on Apple or wherever you find podcasts. And then I do have another podcast that is specific for problematic sexual betrayal and betrayal trauma. It's called Hope for Wives, Overcoming the Impact of Sexual Betrayal. Then my website is strongwives.com. And that's where you can find me if you want to just have a consultation hour, or if you'd like some consistent coaching, you can make an appointment with me through that.
My second question, for anyone who is listening who has maybe experienced that sexual betrayal in marriage, what final encouragement or hope do you have for people who have experienced that or are walking through that at the moment?
First of all, I would want her to know that God sees her and he has not abandoned her. There is a high percentage of women when they are in the midst of the initial crisis, they can have a spiritual crisis, a kind of a crisis of faith. And that's okay. that's okay if she's wondering where is God in all this, because what she's experiencing is so huge. But what I want her to know is Isaiah 43:1-3, he knows you by name. He will rescue you if you're drowning in the waters of being overwhelmed. And if you feel like you're being burned up by the horrible information you're learning, he won't let you be burned up. He will rescue you from all of those things. It takes a minute for that all to happen, but he's there. He sees you. And the other thing I would want her to know is that this is not a marriage problem. So many women think it is a marriage problem. If I do this better, if I do that better, if I get him to hear me more, it's not a marriage problem. It's a person with a problem around pornography addiction or other kinds of acting out. It's not a marriage problem. And the third thing is more sex is not going to help this. So I know a lot of well-meaning helpers who don't quite understand the whole dynamic will encourage a woman to meet her husband more sexually. And that is not the problem. It's really a deep-seated wounding in him that's coming out in a process addiction, a way to manipulate and abuse his own brain chemistry. So those are things I'd like her to know. But mostly, God sees you. He knows.
Well, thank you for your heart. Thank you for your work. Thank you for sharing and being here today. And very excited to welcome you to Australia soon as well. So thank you, Bonnie. God bless your ministry. We're so excited to see what God does in your life and your ministry and how you can help continue to help women all across the world as well. So I reckon you're a history maker. Thank you for being here, Bonnie, and we'll speak to you soon.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.